Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey! With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. His name is writ in the Hall of Fame. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
I'm wonderful, guys. Good to be with you today on the first day of the rest of our lives, right?
Sort of like that.
We live in a new reality. It is Patrick Mahomes' world, and we are allowed to share it. What did you make of his early struggles and of his finish to that game and his MVP and all the rest?
Was there a game last night? Because all I could think about all night was a halftime show. I don't know. I had an MVP vote, and I wrote down on my ballot Shakira.
Nice.
What's that?
I said, nice one.
Yeah. The performance by Mahomes was pretty remarkable because for three quarters, he was ordinary, maybe even below average, and he turned it on just when he needed to turn it on, as he's done all season. He's been at his best when his back has been against the wall, and that really, I think, separates him from a lot of quarterbacks, and really, I think, it makes you put him in a very special category because even some of the all-time greats, some of the Hall of Famers, haven't been able to do what he's been able to do in a very short period of time. And I think that really was a defining moment in his young career, and it's going to be fun to watch him play the rest of his career.
Dan, kind of in the morning after wave of enthusiasm, Mully and I are speculating and debating between what's going to be three or four Super Bowls that Patrick Mahomes ends up winning, because the Chiefs seem to be positioning themselves for a dynasty like Patriots run, because Mahomes is only 24 and no quarterback has done what he has done in his first three seasons. What do you realistically expect? Because you know that money will change how the Chiefs are able to build that roster around him, the cap and those realities. But what do you expect for the Chiefs moving forward?
Yeah, you never know how those things are going to happen, David. I mean, they certainly look like they are in a position now to be very good for a long period of time. But we all know things change. You know, players age quickly, salary cap concerns change, roster dynamics, coaching staffs. You know, a lot of things can happen. And, you know, I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is if they were the second-best team in the AFC this year with behind the Ravens. So that's another team, I think, that you could say has a lot of good things ahead of them, or should have a lot of good things ahead of them, especially with Lamar Jackson, you know, just kind of starting to realize what the talents that he's been given. And I think, though, that the Chiefs have a great combination of a coach and a quarterback. And when you have those two things, you can overcome some of the other things that maybe you don't have, as we found out repeatedly in the great Patriots dynasty with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Can you remember a player, Dan, that has had this sort of a start to his career, you know, MVP? Again, he didn't play the first year, but then once he starts, MVP, Super Bowl MVP. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and he's doing these things at an age when other people really haven't done them. So, no, I think it is very rare that what we're seeing, maybe even unique. Maybe this is a one-of-a-kind deal. And it's really special to watch and to see. You know, I think a lot of people, though, expected him to be on a game for four quarters and being answering the bell and doing everything the right way all through the game. And he didn't do that, but really, in hindsight, what does it matter? All that matters is that he showed up when it was most critical and he won the game.
Likewise, Dan, can you remember a time when everybody was so happy for the Super Bowl winning coach? And there's like universal kind of praise and universal glee over Andy Reid finally winning what he couldn't win in the past?
Yeah, I think it's a statement about, first of all, you know, the kind of coach that he's been for all these years and all the success that he's had in the regular season. And then it's also a statement about the kind of man that he is and the lives that he's touched. You know, I got a chance to catch up with his wife a little bit after the game last night. And I asked her, I said, you know, how many people you think you've heard from this week? And she said, well, I answered about, what'd she say, I think about 300 texts the first couple of days. And then she said, I had to stop. She said, I don't know how many. She said, there's got to be thousands on the phone. And
were they all looking for tickets, Dan?
Well, you know, it's interesting. She said, I asked that question about the tickets. She said, well, we had to get 61 tickets, and I turned down hundreds of people who wanted, you know, who also made requests. So they couldn't accommodate all of them. You know, when you've been in the league as long as they have, and you've made so many contacts, you know, I think that's what happens. But, you know, Dave, I know he heard from people like, you know, all his former quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb came out and talked to the team. Brett Favre came out and talked to the team. Michael Vick called him. So I think it really, like I said, it speaks to the kind of man he is and the lives that he's touched.
When you look at Saturday, Dan, you had another day with the Hall of Fame election and the new class going in. I always find it a fascinating process. There's always a lot of questions you have to answer afterward. How would you sum up this year's class?
I know, I think it's a very good class. I was really happy that we broke some log jams because we've had some problems with offensive linemen and safeties and wide receivers, and we got one of each of them in Steve Hutchinson and Steve Atwater and Isaac Bruce. So now hopefully we can keep the pipeline moving with those positions, and we won't have those big jam-ups where you don't know who to get in because, you know, we left some good guys on the table, as always, you know. Alan Faneca is a guy who some people thought was better than Steve Hutchinson. And certainly we left John Lynch and Leroy Butler, two outstanding safety prospects, but we got two of them in, and Paul Malo and Steve Atwater. So, you know, I think it's a good class, a class that Pro Football Hall of Fame is proud of. And, you know, I'm anxious about next year, too, when we've got great first-time eligible players in Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson and Calvin Johnson, and then some of these guys back. I'd really like to see John Lynch get in, the guy who has been waiting for a long time. Maybe next year will be his time when Super Bowl goes to Tampa, where, of course, he had his greatest moments.
Dan, what would the takeaway be for Bear fans this morning when you look at that? What do you learn and what do you emulate?
Well, you know, I was talking the other night with Julie on the Score. She said, you know, what can the Bears do? Like, Chiefs do, what are the Bears' offense lack that the Chiefs have? You know, it's all about the quarterback. I mean, you know, you can't call the plays that Andy Reid calls and expect to have the same results if you've got an inferior quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's a lot easier to call plays when you've got an MVP and a guy who does everything the right way, or does most things the right way. So it's hard to have a real takeaway from that other than, you know, you should have drafted the other quarterback.
Dan, today's the first day of the offseason, and yesterday you get reports that the Patriots are willing to pay Tom Brady as much as $30 million to stay. You see reports out of Vegas saying the Raiders are going to pursue Tom Brady in free agency. This is just the beginning of the Brady watch, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of posturing going on right now, you know, maybe by both sides, but certainly by Brady's side. You know, I think it makes some sense that the Raiders would be interested in him, you know, knowing John Gruden the way we do and knowing the way he's attracted to veteran quarterbacks. And it certainly makes a ton of sense that Brady would want to stay in New England and New England would want to keep him And I really still believe that that's what's going to happen. But, you know, the real probably takeaway from all that activity to me is that Derek Carr probably is not going to be a Raider this year. If the Raiders are truly interested in Tom Brady, that means they're probably ready to turn the page on Derek Carr.
Yeah, and then how long between, you know, signing him and the head coach falling in love with a different quarterback? It just seems like, you know, with all due respect to Gruden, he just seems like a guy who always wants what he can't have.
Well, you know, maybe if he had a quarterback who is a really good quarterback, he wouldn't be that way. But he's never really had that quarterback in his life. So, it would be interesting to see if he had a quarterback who really is special and capable of carrying a franchise.
How would you sum up to somebody today who asks you how Jimmy Garoppolo played in the Super Bowl, Dan?
Yeah, you know, it was real interesting to me that all week long the 49ers talked up Garoppolo and defended him and, you know, took shots at critics of Garoppolo. And then at the end of the first half, they're afraid to put the ball in his hands. You know, I made a statement in the press box to Mike Sando and Lisa Wilson, who were sitting next to me, that I think the 49ers are more afraid of Garoppolo than the Chiefs are. And, you know, that's a damning statement. When your own team is saying, you know, no, we really don't trust you in a two-minute situation. So it wasn't a great performance by him, but I think I still think he's a young, developing quarterback whose best is ahead of him. And I wouldn't view this as a sign that Jimmy Garoppolo can't handle it. 49ers aren't going to be a very good team moving forward. I think they are going to be, and I think he is going to be a good quarterback. He's just probably not the same category that Patrick Mahomes is, but then again, who is?
Dan, thanks to Todd. Great catching up with you. Great work.
Thanks, Dan. Good job.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.